in the limelight.
Normalization of ties between Israel and Sudan will boost Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's re-election bid, allowing him to tout a diplomatic victory ahead of a vote on March the 2nd. Netanyahu is facing corruption charges and consecutive failures to form a cabinet after back-to-back elections last year, and the move is undoubtedly initiated by Washington, with an incentive for Sudan to be removed from its list of state sponsors of terrorism, thereby removing the US sanctions. In this regard, we have prepared an interesting article written by Salman Parviz under the heading Deal of the Century and Sudan-Israel Normalization. The article appeared on the front page of the website of Iran's English-language newspaper Tehran Times. Stay with us for more of Salman Parviz's article. The so-called Deal of the Century was announced on 29th of January. It was rejected by most of the Muslim world just a few days after the Arab League's rejection of US President Donald Trump's purported peace plan. Lieutenant General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, chairman of Sudan's ruling Sovereign Council, met with the Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Entebbe, Uganda, to begin talks for normalization of bilateral ties. Just a day after the Entebbe meeting, and amid objections from domestic politicians and organizations in Sudan, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan cast doubt on any rapid normalization of ties with the Israeli regime, saying his position on the Palestinian issue remains unchanged. Israeli officials have long expressed a wish to improve ties with Khartoum, citing its importance in the region as well as its geopolitical location. One pretext for the normalization is that the Zionist regime has been seeking permission for its planes to overfly Sudan, cutting several hours off trips to South Africa. No confirmation of the request or response so far. Power-sharing arrangements between the military and civilian parties in Sudan began last August, following the overthrow of the 30-year-old regime of Omar Hassan al-Bashir last April. The power was handed over from the Transition Military Council, TMC, to the Sovereign Council, which composed of military and civilian leaders. In September, the Sudanese cabinet was formed and Abdullah Hamdok was declared prime minister. General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan is the most senior figure in the first phase of power-sharing arrangement, in which civilian authorities are due to take the lead for the final 18 months of the 39-month transition. Elections are slated for 2022. Here we mention some reasons behind normalization of ties between the Israeli regime and Sudan. First of all, the initiative will boost Benjamin Netanyahu's re-election bid, allowing him to tout a diplomatic victory ahead of a vote on March the 2nd. Netanyahu is facing corruption charges and consecutive failures to form a cabinet after back-to-back elections last year. And secondly, the move is undoubtedly initiated by Washington, with an incentive for Sudan to be removed from its list of so-called state sponsors of terrorism, thereby removing US sanctions against Sudan. Meanwhile, Sudan's interim government said on Thursday, 13th of February, that it has reached a financial settlement with families of the victims of the attack on USS Cole in Yemen in 2000. The terrorist group, Al-Qaeda, had claimed responsibility for that attack. Of course, this move from General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan is another effort to persuade the US to remove Sudan from its list of state sponsors of terrorism and end the sanctions regime against Khartoum. 17 sailors died and another 39 were wounded in the attack. Relatives of victims and surviving sailors accused Sudan of having supported al-Qaeda and sought to hold the country liable through American courts of law. Sudanese officials said a settlement had been reached with the families on 7th of February, but did not specify how much compensation would be given to the families. According to a report from Al Jazeera, also the United States claims that Sudan was complicit in the 1998 terrorist attacks on its embassies in Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, which killed 224 people. At that time, al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden, who allegedly ordered the attacks, was known to live on Sudanese territory. The United States insists Sudan must pay approximately $10 billion in damages, $5.9 billion of which will go to the families of the American victims before the sanctions are lifted. In justifying its position, Washington hides behind the independence of the judiciary and claims that it is a purely legal process that has nothing to do with politics. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo thanked Lieutenant General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan by phone for his leadership in normalizing ties with Israel. Pompeo invited Burhan for a visit to Washington and announced that by December, the two countries plan to begin exchanging ambassadors after a 23-year hiatus. Germany also threw support behind Sudan when Prime Minister Hamdok and German Chancellor Angela Merkel held a joint press conference in Berlin on 14th of February. Before Hamdok's arrival in Berlin, the German parliament, the Bundestag, decided to lift sanctions on Sudan since 1989 and to resume development, technical, political and financial cooperation between the two countries. The ouster of Sudanese strongman Omar Hassan al-Bashir was not a revolution, it was a coup d'etat. There is just one difference between the 2013 coup d'etat in Egypt and the one in Sudan. Egypt's coup ousted its first democratically elected president, whilst in Sudan, a ruler was replaced by a military council. Both cases have one thing in common. They were pre-planned and came with a scheme. In 2015, Sudan dramatically reduced ties with the Islamic Republic of Iran to support the war in Yemen, supplying thousands of troops to the Saudi-led coalition. According to Al Jazeera, Lieutenant General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan's deputy in the Transitional Military Council, General Mohammed Hamdan Dagalo, met with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman last May, promising to support Saudi Arabia against what they claimed were all threats and attacks from Iran and Ansar Allah fighters, and continue sending Sudanese troops to help the Saudi-led coalition in the war in Yemen. The United States is looking to Sudan and to Morocco as part of a larger American and West Asia alliance led by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates as key partners to counter Tehran. U.S. President Donald Trump's administration is reportedly considering recognizing Morocco's claim to disputed territory in Western Sahara, in exchange for the country reopening relations with the Israeli regime. Israel is reported to have lobbied the United States to recognize Moroccan sovereignty over the disputed Western Sahara region in exchange for Rabat taking steps to normalize ties with the Israeli regime after suspending the ties back in 2000. It is through Israel that Sudan and Morocco are seeking favors from Washington, the former for sanctions relief, the latter for trying to get US to adopt its position on the Western Sahara. When the United States moved its embassy to the occupied city of Al-Quds, it withdrew support for a two-state solution in occupied Palestine. When Donald Trump announced the so-called deal of the century, it withdrew support for a Palestinian state altogether. The real aim of the so-called deal of the century is not for negotiations between the Israeli regime and Palestinians, but rather it is to eventually normalize ties between the Israeli regime and reactionary Arab states.